how did they organize something like this? And how do you get so many doctors to go along with this? How do you get so many doctors to not speak out against the lack of pre-hospitalization care, the lack of early treatment?
We think there's about 500 doctors who knows what's going on in the United States.
Right? 500.
500. We got a million doctors in the United States. We got 500,000 nurse practitioners and physician assistants. I can tell you the nurses are more awake than the doctors.
Why is that?
The doctors appear to be, like many of our leaders, by the way, all the leaders of the major churches, every single one of them, the major religious branches are under the spell. Every major global international leader is under the spell. We're in what's called a mass formation psychosis. This is very important. I give credit to Dr. Matthias Desmet in the University of Ghent in Belgium. And recently, Dr. Mark McDonald, psychiatrist from LA, Mark McDonald's got a new book out, The United States of Fear, describing how the mass psychosis developed. What your listeners need to know is a mass psychosis is when there is a groupthink that develops that's so strong that it leads to something horrific. And the examples are these mass suicides that occur in these religious cults. The example is Nazi Germany, when people walk into gas chambers and were gassed. These horrific things. And four elements here is very important, Joe. First, there must be a period of prolonged isolation, lockdowns. Number two, there must be a withdrawal of things taken away from people that they used to enjoy. That's happened. Number three, there must be constant, incessant, free-floating anxiety. All this news cycle, all the deaths and the hospitalizations, more variant mutant strains, everything, people becoming scared over and over again. And the last thing, number four, the capper. The capper is there must be a single solution offered by an entity in authority. And this case is clear. Worldwide, the solution was vaccination. Everybody must take the vaccination. It's not a U.S. program. It's not a European. It's everywhere. And you know what, Joe? It doesn't matter what vaccine it is. It could be ChinaVac, CoronaVac. It could be Novavax. It could be Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. It's interesting that it doesn't even matter what vaccine it is. It's just take a vaccine, take any vaccine. And so what mass psychosis says is number four, the solution, there's no limit to the absurdity of the solution.
Other countries have been much more ruthless in their enforcement of vaccinations, and it's kind of opened a lot of people's eyes as to what's possible. When you look at some of the European countries, the way Germany's handling it, even the way New Zealand's handling it, and Australia for sure, people are terrified when they're seeing these places that they thought of as being as free as the United States falling into this sort of totalitarian regime situation where the government is telling the people what they must do and literally checking everyone for papers. And people don't seem to think that this is a problem. A large percentage of people don't seem to think this is a problem. They think it's good because we need to vaccinate everyone. But they don't – it's that they don't have an issue with – what has historically always been a problem with people. When you give governments extreme amounts of power over people, they tend to like to use that power, and they don't ever want to give it up. And we've opened the door to these new levels of power for the government. And people say, well, that's important because we have to do it because we're in the middle of a pandemic and we have to treat these people. Because some people are silly and they believe conspiracy theories and they don't want to take the adequate treatment, and that's going to get everybody else sick, which doesn't really make sense. But the whole thought behind it is that this is temporary. But it's never temporary. Power lost is never regained. All freedoms lost, unless you fight for them, they're kind of lost forever. And so these people that are giving into these green passes, and they're seeing that in Israel now, right? Where Israel, it used to be you have two vaccines, two shots, and then you get the green pass and you're considered fully vaccinated, you can enter society. Now they're saying no. Now you have to have a third. And now they're considering a fourth, which is wild. And there's no end in sight.
You know, if it was about COVID, I would say that the world would have adopted something what I presented to the American people and the Senate testimony in November of 2020. I told America, listen, there's four pillars to pandemic response. We should have always seen teams of doctors in Washington. I would have went if they called me. Matter of fact, I emailed it. They knew who I am. we would have seen teams of doctors in Washington working on four pillars. The first pillar is reduce the spread of infection. Terrific. You know, everything we can to improve airflow. We know it's spread by the air. It's not a hand infection. This focus on hand sanitizers, like we're all getting infected hands.
That was pretty early on, though, wasn't it?
It's not even, no. You still go on DFW airport, there's hand sanitizers every 6 feet. You know, there was pictures of people spraying football stadiums with sanitizer. It's not spread on football seats. It's not a contact organism. It's not Ebola. It's not Clostridium difficile. It's spread in the air. But if we would have focused on contagion control that was reasonable, that would have been terrific. The most effective contagion control, by the way, is 2021 data, is actually using oral nasal virucidal therapy, far and away.
Yeah, explain that, please.
Yeah, oral nasal virucidal therapy is basically using virtually anything kills the virus. Any disinfectant kills the virus. Iodine kills it on contact. So if we use dilute betadine, and so if you take a betadine over the counter, it's a brown bottle. We use it to sterilize wounds in the ER. Buy it at any pharmacy and take 2 teaspoons in 6 ounces of water. Take a nasal spray or a syringe bulb and spray it up your nose, snort it back to the points in the back of your throat and spit it out. I'm sorry that's gross for your audience, but you got to get it up there and back. That adequately decontaminates the nose. Then gargle with the rest of it, spit it out. Finish up with some Scope or Listerine. Doing that after you return from a day out with contact with people, especially close contact in close rooms. I'm talking public restrooms, small conference rooms. You have to be in contact with someone for about 3 hours, honestly, in a small room with no airflow to get it, or go into a loaded room like a public restroom or tight places at small stores. That the bottom line, that's where people get it from. Once it gets home, 85% of it spreads in the house. But using oral nasal virucidal therapy is such a huge advance that in a randomized trial by Chowdhury and colleagues from Bangladesh, 303 patients randomized to this virucidal therapy, which is all topical, no prescription drugs, nothing else needed, versus a control group, which was just warm water. 303 patients in each group, it dramatically reduced the PCR positivity by day 3. It knocked it down from 303 down to 24 patients still positive. Those who got the control, they're still all positive. And it markedly reduced by easily 75% chances of having progressive disease, ending up the hospital or death. And it's enormously preventive. And now we learned we can use hydrogen peroxide, dilute hydrogen peroxide with some Lugol's iodine. And believe it or not, the dentists in the American Dental Association guidelines use for cytomegalovirus and Epstein-Barr virus, gingivitis, they use sodium hypochlorite. That's actually dilute bleach. Turns out it just takes a few drops of bleach in some household water. That's for the mouth. We typically don't use it in the nose around the eyes. But remember when President Trump mentioned bleach and everybody had a big horse laugh on that?
Yes.
It turns out he just couldn't articulate. Someone was giving him the ADA recommendations for antiviral therapy for the mouth. The point is, pillar number one should have been contagion control. It should have been focused on the nose and the mouth. We learned it early. We learned it late, but if we could have used any of that early, it would have helped. Randomized trials of masks didn't work. Hand sanitizers and spraying football stadiums. There was even in Europe, they were spraying the sidewalk. That doesn't work.
Do you think the masks have any effect on the limiting the spread?
You know, every time I go on Fox News, Laura Ingraham always tees up some comment on masks. And I just – masks are not my signature focus, right?
Right.
And the reason being, if two people don't have the virus and they wear a mask, can it possibly do anything? Of course not. So in randomized trials of masks, the vast majority of people don't have the virus. So if you put masks on people who don't have the virus, it's not going to do anything. Mask expert Mr. Stephen Petty, who I've presented with, he is a world's expert on masks. He's an engineer. With a typical mask that someone wears, do you know how much air moves around the mask?
Yeah.
It's 18% moves around the mask. Of course it doesn't work. Masks only filter out about 3 microns. The virus is 1 micron. So the point is, what do masks do? Do I wear a mask? Sure. I'm a doctor. I go into the hospital. I'm in the cath lab. I'm close contact with people. Dentists, hairdressers, people at close range wear a mask. It may stop a big sneeze. It may stop partially some big emanation of inoculum. But we shouldn't have had the airtime and the public health focus on masks. I think if we would have taken all of that energy and put it on treatment protocols and update on drugs, we would have been better off. But that's contagion control. Pillar number two is early treatment. We've talked about that. Pillar number three, which is really important, is trying to improve the hospital treatments. And, we should have had monthly updates from our federal officials and our agencies about where we are with early treatments. And for sure, our local medical schools should have all had early treatment updates once a month. Come on. The medical centers are facing their Super Bowl. Do you know today? Do you know today in America, we have 300 medical schools, Harvard, Yale, Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic. Do you know not a single hospital has their own unique protocol to treat COVID-19? They don't have a single original idea. Do you know that none of those organizations, Joe, have ever treated a COVID patient to prevent hospitalization and death? I told Tucker Carlson, he almost fell out of his seat. I said, yeah, they don't have a single idea how to treat COVID-19 patients outside the hospital. Suddenly, our best and our brightest are out of intellectual ammo.